Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. More apologies today from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo as he stands accused of sexually harassing young women.
I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it.
Cuomo says he will fully cooperate with the state attorney general's review of the allegations. But despite pressure from fellow Democrats to step down, Cuomo says he will not resign. Members of the National Guard, the Pentagon, and other security officials are testifying before two Senate committees today as Congress further examines the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol building. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports the officials are facing questions about the lack of preparedness, missed intelligence, and other missteps in responding to the attack on January 6th.
The commanding general of the District of Columbia National Guard, Major General William Walker, says he received a phone call from the Capitol Police just before 2 p.m. on January 6th.
I received a frantic call from then Chief of United States Capitol Police Stephen Sun, where he informed me that the security perimeter of the United States Capitol had been breached by hostile rioters. Chief Sun, his voice cracking with emotion, indicated that there was a dire emergency at the Capitol.
Walker says he had members of the National Guard on standby, but did not receive the green light from the Pentagon until after 5 p.m. to deploy the troops. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
States are beginning to accelerate their COVID-19 vaccine distribution plans as they expect a big bump in weekly shipments. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN in Nashville reports states are receiving the first shipments of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week.
Pennsylvania has decided to move ahead with teachers because of the additional doses. Tennessee is finishing up teachers and going ahead with anyone who has risk factors ranging from asthma to dementia. The state's health commissioner, Dr. Lisa Piercy, says that accounts for 1 in 6 Tennessee residents.
The reason we're going to go ahead and speed up and go to that phase is in anticipation for this large surplus that we expect in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
It's not just the Johnson & Johnson doses. Moderna and Pfizer are also increasing shipments by 30%. By the end of March, Piercy expects to be getting more than 3 times the doses each week as it was in January. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow is up 58 points at 31,450. The NASDAQ is down 279 points. S&P is down 26 points since the open. This is NPR News. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says no announcement on another nominee to head the Office of Management and Budget will be made this week. This coming a day after Neera Tanden withdrew her name in the wake of Senate resistance to her confirmation over criticism she previously posted on social media about both Republican and Democratic lawmakers. Google is signaling that it has no plans to replace so-called third-party cookies on Chrome with other means of individual tracking for ad sales, but there's no indication that the Alphabet-owned company will stop tracking users through services such as Search, Maps, Gmail, or YouTube. Many rival browsers, such as Microsoft's Edge, are based on Google's Chromium technology, raising concerns the changes to Chrome could further solidify Google's dominance in the industry. ISIS says it was behind a coordinated attack that killed 3 Afghan television employees. NPR's Zia Hadid reports the militants say they shot the women because they were employed by a pro-government media outlet.
This isn't the first time ISIS has attacked this particular TV station. In December, their gunmen killed Malala Maywand. She was a presenter and activist for women and children's rights. At least 14 media workers and human rights activists have been assassinated in Afghanistan in recent months. Most of the killings have gone unclaimed. They began in earnest after peace talks began between the Afghan government and the Taliban in September. That's led activists to say the insurgents, or their sympathizers, are behind the attacks. They say it's a way of shutting up critical voices before they potentially come to power through talks. The Taliban deny responsibility. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Islamabad.
It's NPR News.